I wonder this Christmas, how do you relate to Jesus? Because it really depends on how you've been introduced, doesn't it? Even in those moments, as I sat next to that guy at the carol service, as he came and sat next to me, we just didn't have the opportunity to get introduced. And so we related to each other, maybe in a way that he'd rather we hadn't. I wonder how you've been introduced to Jesus. Maybe it's by way of the nativity at a school. Baby Jesus, meek and mild. See, it really matters how we've been introduced, doesn't it? This evening, we're going to look at a couple of verses from John's account, John's Gospel. He wrote the first couple of sentences for this reason. He thought it was so important that we were introduced well to Jesus. Why? Because it really matters, he thinks, how we relate to him. But here's the thing. John uses a few words right at the beginning, and they're a bit weird. So we're going to have a look at them and try and work out what he's saying. So they're coming up on the screen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. See, John, right at the very beginning of his whole account of what he wants to say about Jesus, he uses these three words. In the beginning. See, what John wants to do is lift our eyes, take us right back to the very same three words that begin our whole Bible. In the beginning. See, John wants to say, look back. Right in the beginning was the Word. Jesus, hey, he's not just a baby in a manger. John wants to make it so clear right at the very outset, if we're thinking about Jesus, we've got to think big. Right at the beginning of the whole of eternity, there, with God, before creation, was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. But he uses the word. It's a funny word, isn't it? Now, I wonder if you've ever asked this question. Well, if God is there, why doesn't he make himself clear to me? If God is out there, why doesn't he reveal himself? If God is there, why doesn't he show us what he's all about? Question that we often have, we hear all the time, don't we? Well, John, right at the very beginning, he uses this term Word to speak about Jesus. He's saying, actually, what's important here is not just what Jesus says. Actually, it's everything about Jesus. See, Jesus is the Word, God's full and decisive message to us. It's not just what he said, it's everything about him, what he did, what he claimed, how he lived, everything about Jesus. That's God's Word to us. Then he uses his second word, life. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. See, right at the very beginning, Jesus was there with God. And we're told that everything came out of Jesus. He's the author of life. Everything we know to be life is from Jesus. But hold on, John. Haven't you just said that? If you just want to say that, couldn't you just explain Word a bit more? Why is it that he uses the word life? Well, the Bible says that we're dead. I wonder if you've ever wondered about Eskimos. In the North Pole, surrounded by snow, how do they stay alive? How on earth do they keep themselves alive? Well, here's just one way. I've done a bit of reading, and this is what they do. They get these big knives, really big, short little handles and long blades, and they pack them with snow. And they dip them in fish blood. Pack them in snow, dip them in fish blood. Pack them in snow, dip them in fish blood. And they take them just a few yards outside of their igloo. And they put them in the ground, handle side down. So what's left is this kind of fish blood ice lollipop. Now, Mr. Wolf, from miles and miles around, he's got a perfect sense of smell. And he can smell exactly what is there. And he comes running for his dinner. And he starts licking and licking at the fish blood ice lollipop, and licking and licking, and licking and licking, until he gets closer and closer to the blade. But by this point, he's so addicted to the taste of this blood that he keeps licking and licking until what he tastes is no longer the taste of fish blood, but his own blood. But he can't even tell because he's so addicted to this blood. And he keeps going and going at this blade until he licks himself to death. And the Eskimos come out of the igloo and collect their dinner. Now, it's brutal, isn't it? It's really quite brutal. But the Bible says that we're addicted. Not to the taste of fish blood, but to living for ourselves. To living as though God isn't there. To living to please ourselves in his world without him. And a bit like the wolf, the moment he becomes addicted to the blood, he's destined for death. The Bible says death is for us too. And after death, well, the Bible says that God judges based on how we've lived. And ultimately, that leads to a place called hell. A place that God gives to us as we've chosen, a place without him, without his goodness. Now, that paints a really scary picture. How is it that Jesus says he's the life? See, Jesus, the one who was there at the very beginning, the one in whom all life came, he came to earth. He took on flesh to offer life. To offer life to those addicted. To us, every single one of us, addicted to living for ourselves. Jesus is the life. He's the author of life, and he offers life eternal. Question is how? Well, thirdly, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus came to this earth as the light. I wonder if you've ever been in real darkness. I joined a running club at the beginning of the summer, and I'm not really a runner. I've done a bit of running, but it was all new, and it was quite exciting for the summer. It was really good, and I was going out running with my friends, and I was just loving it. Now, it got to the winter, and it all changed. There was just this one session. I walked into the running club, and I was like, hold on, this is not for me. Sure, this is something else. I looked around, and there was men wearing tights. There's people wearing reflectives. There's people wearing light-up shoes, light-up laces, all kinds of stuff. There's even people wearing lights on their head like they're going down the mines. I look down at myself. I'm wearing shorts and T-shirt, and I'm looking around thinking, surely this is a bit keen, isn't it? Surely this is too keen. Anyway, that evening, we were doing what you call a fartlek session. Nice name, I know. But basically, it's a speed session. So what you do is you all run together in a group, kind of mid-pace, and then someone blows a whistle. When the whistle blows, everyone shoots off and runs as fast as they can until they hear another whistle blow. And then you come back together and you run as a group. Now, we're running out in the fields around the back of the Greenway. And to be honest, I'm feeling a bit smug because I'm just there in my shorts and T-shirts looking like a normal person. And they all look stupid. And I'm running along, we're doing our fartlek, it hasn't really started yet, so we're just jogging. And then the whistle blows, and within seconds, I'm plunged into utter darkness. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. I'm walking along, I'm slowing down, and I can't see anything, and I'm meant to be like going as quick as I can. Now, the whistle went again, and everyone came back together. And I was okay. But in that moment, I couldn't do anything. I was reaching around in the darkness, nothing I could do. See, the Bible says that we're walking in darkness. When it comes to our relationship with God, there's nothing we can do. It's like we're reaching out in the darkness, looking for some help, and there's nothing we can do. But here we see Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. See, Jesus came not just to show the way. He didn't just come to show how we were to live. He didn't just come to show us what our problem is. He didn't just come to show us. No, Jesus is the way. You might know that ultimately, Jesus' life ended in death. Death on a cross. A punishment that you and I deserve. A punishment that is for people addicted to living in God's world without God. But Jesus didn't stay dead. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus was not overcome by death. 3 days later, Jesus came back to life, proving that this punishment has been paid for, proving that there is life after death, proving that a relationship with God is on offer for us, proving that life is on offer for us. Jesus is the light that overcomes darkness, offering life. See, as John introduces right at the very beginning of his whole account, as he introduces Jesus, what he wants to say is big. But it tells us something about us too, doesn't it? See, the stakes are so high. It's not like when I was sat in the carol service and it was really awkward with me and that guy. To be honest, I don't really care. It's not the end of the world. It was a bit awkward, but now it's really funny. But here John is saying the stakes for how we get the identity of Jesus and how we relate to him, they couldn't be any higher. The stakes are eternal. A little bit later on in this chapter, John writes this: "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." See, if this Christmas we receive Jesus, just as John says he is, we escape this death and darkness, and what's on offer for us is new life. I wonder, this Christmas, as you see Jesus, baby Jesus, always in a manger on displays, even less and less so these days, will you ask yourself this question? How do I relate to Jesus? Because what John wants to say right at the very beginning of his account is Jesus is the Word. He's God's full and decisive message to us. He's the life, the author of life, and he offers life eternal. And he's the light that overcomes darkness, offering us life. I wonder, just this Christmas, as you see Jesus somewhere, will you ask yourself that question? Am I relating to Jesus rightly?